Amen. Well, good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit would be upon your heart and your life this morning. Amen. I tell you, we serve a great God, people. We serve a great God. My Lord, my Lord. There's nothing too difficult that He can't handle. My Lord, my Lord. If you would, let's do our scripture reading. If you would turn to page 1014, which is Psalms 138. Psalms 138. Amen. Everybody got it? All righty. Amen. Let's start with verse 1. Well, page 1014, just making sure. Okay, start with verse 1. Now, this is our church reading. That means we all read. It's like you say, oh, Pastor, are you sure about that? Look, if you make a mistake and say a wrong word, so what? So what? You know, so what? It's okay. It's okay. You know, we need the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. So look at this, verse 1. It says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto you. Verse 2. I will worship towards the holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Verse 3. In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Verse 4. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Verse 5. Yes, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knows afar off. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. Verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands, my Lord. He says he will revive us. Oh, my, 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 what a God we serve. When you feel like you can't go on, you feel depressed, you feel whatever, he says he'll revive his people. You know, we live in these mortal bodies that will die one day, my Lord. But I tell you, God gives us a hope, and that hope is in him. He will revive us, and he will heal, and he will move, and he will do, my Lord. Yesterday, I did a funeral for my aunt, my last living aunt on my mother's side. As far as the siblings, they had 13, and this is the last one. And at my mom's funeral, her two daughters, Aunt Lillian's two daughters, came up to me and said, we'd like for you to do my mom's funeral. She was 93, so she was about 91. I said, well, yeah, okay. But, you know, people say all kinds of stuff, you know, and whatever, you know. And sure enough, when she passed away, I knew, and we talked and stuff, and they wanted me to do it. And so, you know, you have a lot of family there, you know, and stuff. They had 50, 60, whatever amounts of people there, just all in there. And, you know, you don't realize how God is moving. Amen. You don't realize what God is doing, people. As you continue to pray for your family, you continue to ask God to move, you continue to ask God for them to have a heart for him, to come to a place where they realize, I need him. You know, you never know. Every funeral I do, at the end, I always have salvation. Because you never know. Amen. Talking about what Jesus did and all that stuff. And I tell you what, as I was speaking, there was not like people falling asleep. They were so intent. I mean, some I saw way in the back was sitting at the end of their chairs, just intent, not because of me. You know, always realize that it's always because of him and what he can do and what the Holy Spirit could do. Because you see, I could say boo. And if the Holy Spirit takes that boo and hits it in the hearts of people, it will change people. We can say all kind of words, but I tell you, when the Holy Spirit takes it and stamps it in the hearts of people, that's what changes. And look, they prayed that prayer at the end, and I said, Lord, you're working and moving. You're working and moving. You're going to reap. I tell you, Jesus is coming for his people. And it's time for the harvest. He said he's looking for people that will harvest. Get out there and keep harvesting. Because you have to harvest when it's ripe, huh? Dustin, if you wait too long, what happens to the harvest? You lose it. It dies. Is that what I'm thinking? I'm not a farmer, so, you know, that's why I kind of ask him a little bit here. It dies, so it has to be reaped at the right time. And God said it's time to reap. And so you keep telling people about the Lord. You know, you keep sharing, because he's the only hope for this generation. He's the only hope for the world. And so you keep boldly proclaiming who Jesus is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that died upon Calvary's cross, the only one that can give life to his people, because that's the kind of God we serve. My Lord, don't give up on your family. God will move. Just be intent. Be faithful to go to God, giving him those people, asking God to move, and he can make circumstances come out that he will do what needs to be done, and it will happen, my Lord. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Miss Cindy, how's... I gave her a Bible. That's why I'm asking. How's... last week, so she... You been... What's that?
No phone out today.
Okay, that's okay, you know. And I don't mind with that. Hey, look, you know, that's... generate. You gotta... whatever. But I see she has the Bible. You enjoying it? You're welcome. You're welcome. Amen. If you would stretch forth your hands this way as I ask God to anoint me and to help me to preach his word this morning. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for your anointing and your presence upon my life, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you will help me to preach your word, Father. Lord God, with power and authority, in Jesus' name, amen. Cindy, we've been knowing for a long time. We went to church together in Kaplan, her and Mr. Daniel. And so we've been knowing. So we were so pleasantly pleased to have her walk in a month or so ago. And she stayed so far. So I said, well, you know, maybe we're doing something good. I don't know. No, we are doing well. Praise the Lord. God knows what's going on, people. God knows. God knows. Don't ever look at the circumstances from the physical eye. I know that's how we see things. But always look at things from how God looks at it, from the heart realm of what's happening in our hearts and in the hearts and lives of people. Praise the Lord. Because you see, he sees far beyond the physical realm. He sees far beyond that. And so we want to see things the way he sees things. Amen. If you would, please turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. 1804 page. Well, I know school started. Yep. Parents, you excited?
No.
Not too much? Okay. Well, it's going to be a good year. Good year. I know we prayed for the children last week and stuff, and we pray you had a good start on Friday if you're going to the public school, you know, and stuff, whatever. We pray you have a great year. That doesn't mean you may not have situations or whatever, but you see, when you give it to God, He takes care of it. Oh, see, that's the problem. Sometimes we keep things. We got to give it to Him and don't take it back. Give Him the school year. Give him your children. Give Him the school year. And let God work in those areas that need to be worked in. And if situations or problems come about, God will step in, because God will give you wisdom as the parents. He will give you wisdom how to handle things and what situation. That could be towards school. That could be towards any situation, towards family, just our own personal lives. We got to give it to Him, let Him handle it, and let Him do it the way He wants to do it. Amen. Billy Graham, great preacher, he's gone now. Billy and Ruth Graham, Reverend Billy and Ruth Graham, and I'll say both of them as preachers because I know he preached, but she was like the legs of the chair. You know what I'm saying? He might have been the chair, but she was the legs of the chair, which makes the whole chair. You see, everybody has their part in the kingdom. They had this big revival tent meeting basically going on. And during that time before that, Bill and Billy Graham and Ruth Graham, they sponsored a prisoner. You might say, well, what does that mean? What they would do is they would sponsor, they would send maybe some money to help that prisoner. You know, they would spiritually help that prisoner, whoever it was. And, you know, they still do that today. You can sponsor and help spiritually that prisoner. They did that for years and years. Well, this prisoner got out of prison after doing his sentence. You know, and you know, I know we think sometimes prisoners, they have to do their time, and they do. They have to pay for what they've done to society. Well, he comes to that meeting, and Billy Graham and his wife Ruth, they had taken like two big rolls, you know, and they had all their family there. You know, we're having a huge meeting. And this guy walks in, which they thought he said he may come. So she was kind of looking for him. Well, he came, and so he sat somewhere else. So as the meeting was about to start, Ruth Graham gets up. Now, they're sitting in the front. They have the reserve seats, and that's just out of respect. There's nothing wrong with that. She gets up, and she finds him and sees where he's sitting. And she goes up to him, and she sits right next to him. Now, this is Ruth Graham. You know what I'm saying? This is the guest, the speaker's wife, you know, sits right next to him and stays there for the whole meeting. Leaves her family of two rows. Because you see, that's how important he was to them. And that's how important people should be to us. She sits right next to him and she says, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I'm doing okay, you know." And she said, "By the way, we want to invite you for supper to come eat. I'm cooking." And he said, "Oh, okay." You know, have a good home-cooked meal. So as he comes to their house, they're sitting at the table eating. And she said, "By the way," Ruth Graham says, "By the way, what is your address?" And so in the back of his pocket, you know, men keep their wallets back here usually. He takes out an envelope, like a white just envelope that's folded. And he said, "This is my envelope. This is my address." And he tells her the address, and she looks at him and she says, "Wait, is that your wallet?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." She turns and she looks at Billy Graham and she says, "Give me your wallet." He takes out his wallet, and I'm sure he takes out whatever. And she says, he needs a wallet. She takes his wallet from him and hands it to him and says, now you have a wallet. She showed compassion to this man. Something that is rarely seen probably in our society. And for various reasons, you know. We know there are people out there that are just trying to get whatever they could, and they'll tell you the saddest story in the whole world to get you to give them some money or whatever it is. But you see, people still, it says that Jesus continuously was moved with compassion for people. He was continually moved with compassion. And you see, Ruth Graham could do that because of the God that was in her. And she had compassion upon him. We need to be moved with, but yet we need to be moved with compassion for people. But yet we still should have wisdom towards the people. We don't want to be taken advantage of by people or society. But we need to be moved like Jesus was moved with compassion. She gave him the wallet, and he took it and had a wallet as a man. We need to be moved with compassion for people that may not have or may not be able to afford quality things of this world. You know, someone came up to me years ago, close person to me, and I'll tell you this, and I don't like to uplift myself, I'll be honest with you, but I'll tell you because it goes in maybe with the scenario. And they looked at me and they said, you really care about people. I said, yes, I do. But you see, it's not because of me, it's because of the God in me. Because I don't like to see people hurting. I don't like that. I don't like to see people, especially in our church, go without something. If I hear of something, I'll try to do what I can if I can. Because that's just who I am. You know? I'm not saying, well, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not doing that. That doesn't mean you're lower than any. Don't look at it that way. But be moved with compassion a little bit. Don't be so hard sometimes. Let God use you in those areas. I remember years ago we were going to a revival, Jelaine and I. Somebody was speaking at a church in Crowley, Northside Assembly. It was Miss Peggy Richards. You know, one time, and I'll get back to this story. But one time, when I first got out of high school, just trying to make money, we were poor people, poor, poor, poor. We poor, okay? Didn't have a lot. So you're trying to work, and I was working at McDonald's in Abbeville. And she was having meetings at harvest time. And after one of the church services, I knew who she was, but I didn't know she was there. Well, her and Arlene, remember her, Arlene, that was with her all the time? Arlene Parker, I think her last name was. Well, you know, I'm doing the drive-through, and I'm young. I mean, like 18, 19 at most, trying to make a buck, you know, trying to, you know, even though I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, you got to work. Yeah, work's a good thing. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it's like, I say 9 o'clock, 9:30. They drive up in the drive-thru. I mean, we take their order. I don't know who they are, but they drive up. And I remember when I opened it, the door, you know how it opens for the drive. And I looked in there and I knew who it was. When I opened that door, you felt the presence of the Lord. I mean the presence of God. I mean the Holy Spirit, people. The Holy Spirit is not dead. Okay, come on now. Let's get excited about the things of God. The Holy Spirit is still alive. The third person of the Godhead. It came out, and I just looked, and I got their money, and I gave them their food. And I remember Sister Peggy, she wasn't driving. She was on the other side. She had her Bible open. I knew. I mean, it was her Bible. And she was reading. And I said, my God. See, at that time, you know, you kind of going through some weird stages in life. And you're kind of contemplating, well, you know, I went to church. I'm not sure what's going on. But it's like it satisfied on the inside. My God. What God can do. And probably many of you could tell many stories about what God has done in your heart and in your life, drawing you by His Spirit. Let me tell you, there's never no hope in God. Amen. Never. There's never, 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 never no hope in God, especially as a child of the living God. Amen. There's hope in Him. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Well, hey, welcome aboard. Yes, amen. Welcome to the boat. But you see, we have the captain, which is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit working and moving that will help us to get through life and will help us to get through to the other side. That's the kind of God we serve. Getting back to the story over there in Crowley, we were going. And so we said, let's go eat, you know, first before going. And so we ended up at one of the fast food restaurants. And here we ordered and we were about to sit down. And this guy walks in and we're right there. And he comes to the counter and he says, can I have something to eat? I mean, it's like just... my heart just melted. You know, sometimes you have people that just try to rip you off. Well, I just knew by the Spirit of the Lord. I said, this is God. Okay, Lord. He said, can I have just milk? Hey, I understand, you know, the people working behind the counter. They said, no, you know, they probably asked, you know, every day, how many people a day next to the interstate walking, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I remember we went up to him and I said, what do you want? And the people said, oh, no. I said, no, we will buy what he wants, whatever you want. And that's when he said he wanted whatever. And he said, I want some milk. I said, you got it. If they have it, you got it. And so they brought him one. I said, what about two? Oh, thank you. And he took his food. He took his, and he walked out the door. And I said, Lord, touch that young man. And you know what I thought of? I said, you know what? I said, I bet you he has a mother and a father that's praying for him. Because God, he's running. But I said, God, get a hold of him. You see, let me tell you this. God will work and God will move as we petition him and we go before him. The throne of God is open to us, his people. Amen. It's not shut. It's open to us. It says that his ears are attentive to our prayers. My God. Now, he may not answer the way we think or want, but he's attentive because he's a God that loves and cares for his people. My God. My God. Amen. Amen. Let's read in Luke. Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11. It says this, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and I know this is kind of familiar, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided it unto them, his living. And not many days after, this younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. You know, the comment says this about this young man, that he desired the father's goods without the father's company. People, we should never be Christians that desire the goods of God. Oh, we want his blessings. And hey, there's nothing wrong. He wants to bless his people. We shouldn't desire his blessing without his company. Amen. Ooh, I'd rather have his company than the blessing. But it seems like it comes together. You accompany yourself. We should always desire him first and let him do what needs to happen. This young man, and we'll get back to the story, said, "Father, I want everything, all that I guess maybe he used the word deserves. Nothing he worked for, really. But he wanted his inheritance. And so the father gave him what was rightfully his. Look at verse 14. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him." Let me just stop right here. Don't you think this father was praying for his son? Do you think the father would have concocted something up like a famine? No, because he couldn't do it. But the father knows what will bring this boy back home. The father knows what will bring your children back home. The father knows how to touch your children. Oh, he knows how to touch them. This boy got everything he had that he deserved, I guess. But yet, he spent everything he had on everything of riotous living, did everything that was not good. But yet a famine came to that land. Oh, and not to the other land, my Lord. See, God can make something happen right here, and next door, it does not happen. You see, God can bless your home mightily and move because your life is submitted to him and you need whatever. God can move. But yet this other house right here not have what they need because they're not serving Jehovah God. But God will use you to meet that need somehow, some way. That's the kind of God we serve. And here he went, he got to the place where there was a famine, and he looked at the pigs that he was feeding, and he desired their food. Now, can you imagine desiring food that belongs to a pig? You know, a pig eats anything. I mean, leaves to anything. Anything, it seems like. You put it in their cage, they'll eat it. They'll eat it. And so being a Jew like he was, that was very odd for him to be working in that place anyway. But God was drawing him back. You see, when we get away a little bit, God will draw us back. And he will allow certain circumstances to come our way to draw us back because he knows your heart and he knows my heart. He knows that we love him. He knows that we desire to be with him. And God will work things out for our good. Maybe we might make a wrong turn and go in a different direction, but he sees how we call out to him and say, "Lord, help me, help me, help me." And he will be like he did to Peter and go and help him as he's drowning. Maybe the drowning of life will be upon us. But I tell you what, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God that can step in and change circumstances. It may look like we're drowning, but I tell you what, God knows what will make us come back to Him and serve Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's looking for a people that are sold out to Him. He's not looking for a people that are perfect. Because there's none perfect. You might say, well, how do you know that? Because He wouldn't have come and died on the cross. He knows none of us are perfect. He's looking for a people that are sold out to Him. Now say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say or what to do. But I rely upon You that You're my God, You're my Lord, You're my Savior, and You will help me. See, God has compassion upon us. Oh, my Lord. He has compassion on us. That even when we mess up, even when we say the wrong thing or do the wrong action or do something not according to His word, He still has compassion. But He looks at us and says, now change. Change. But not that we can change ourselves, but the Holy Spirit is there to help us to change and to do and to help us. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a mighty God that can do mighty, mighty, mighty things. There's nothing too difficult that He can't handle. He can heal the brokenhearted. My Lord, what? That's probably one of the worst things. I say worst things in as far as God having to heal, because it takes so long, it seems like. But I said He can still do it. The brokenhearted. Because maybe God didn't do something the way we thought. We get brokenhearted. Oh. Maybe your family didn't turn out right. Something didn't go right. You get brokenhearted. Maybe finances break your heart. Whatever it is. Society in life. Whatever it is. Maybe your spouse breaks your heart. Ouch. Oh, Lord. Whatever it is. But I tell you, God can come in and God can bring the salve of healing by His mighty power and do a mighty work in Him. It was amazing. I was looking through my stuff and just stuff. You know, I keep everything. I mean, with ministry stuff, I keep it all. People send me stuff, cards. I keep it all, you know. I just try to do those things. I have sermons that go back 20 years, 25, 30, whatever. I have them, you know. And it's just so good to look back and see. I was looking through stuff and I found a paper that my sister sent me. And she was just saying, I want you to know this. One of my sisters. And she said, you know, Dad was saying the other day how proud he was of you. I said, ooh. And how he saw how your children looked up to you. Looked up to you. But how proud he was of what you've become. It was just, and I said, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you, Lord. The other day I was looking through some stuff. My mom used to give me tablets of different kinds to do all my sermons. That's what she'd tell me. This is to put your sermon in. And, you know, and she'd write a note. And, I opened it up. And it had a note in there. Joseph, I'm proud of you. This is all for your sermons. I love you. And she'd date everything. And so, you see, those things you never know will help you in life. Of what's going on in your heart and life. Here we see this guy, you know, he took everything he had and he went to a place, gave it all away, sold it, whatever he did with it, did things that weren't good, but God was drawing him back. God was drawing him back. A famine came in the land, and that wasn't by accident. That was to draw him back. He got a job feeding pigs. That wasn't by accident. Orchestrated by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, we need to not get in the way of what God is doing. Lord, don't let me get in the way of anything, Lord. Help me to flow with you. See, that's where we need to go. We need to flow with God. You see? Flow with the things that God wants and that God is doing. And as he came back one day, he finally realized, I need to come back. I know many of us probably have drifted away at times. Huh? I know that. I don't live under a rock. I know what it is. And sometimes we drift away. It just, sometimes life gets hard. Huh? Disappointments. Things happen that just hurt. Even the death of loved ones sometimes, that just, it puts a knife inside, it seems like, huh? I know I told you I had a dream about my mom about a year and a half later because I just missed her, you know. I mean, we could have fought a few times, you know, while she was alive, you know, but what? Oh, my God, man. But, you know, as time goes on, you start to miss. Oh, you just miss. You miss. You miss their laughter. You miss their quirkiness sometimes. You miss what they do. And that's just life. And I know I had a dream. Sometimes I'd wake up and just tears were just streaming down my face. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Not that I don't think she's in heaven. I know she's in heaven. I know that, Lord. And he allowed me to see her in that, and I told you about that a few weeks, whenever, the dream. And how the aura of the Holy Ghost was just all around her. She never said a word in the dream. She just smiled and looked at me. And I kept saying, where have you been? You know, like fussing at her almost, you know. But knowing God was taking care of things. Just that's a salve of a healing. Thank you, Lord. See, that's the compassion of God. Every time he heals your body, that's compassion. Every time he gives you a word for you, that's compassion. Every time you read his word and you see something in there for you, that's compassion. That's compassion. He knows. It says that he wept. When Lazarus died, he wept. He wept. Because he felt the pain. He was God, but yet he knew. And he rose, come forth, and he came forth, my Lord. But that's the kind of God we serve that shows compassion. And here we see, because of time's sake, that finally he came to his senses. Maybe tonight, today, you can go home and read that whole chapter. And it says, he said, you know, the servants in my father's home are eating better than I am and are being treated better than I am. Always come home to God. Always. And it says that he came to his senses and he started walking home. And we know the story where it says that the father just happened to be on the porch. And he looks out and he says, this is just me. Okay. I'm not saying this is in the word. Because I know. He may have been rocking on his chair. And he turns and he says, and he sees, because it's far, the silhouette of his son. He said, that has to be my son. Look how he's walking. Oh, yeah, that's him. And he gets up. And he starts running after him. Look, Christ loves you. Christ loves you. He loves you with all his heart. And he starts running after his son. And it says when he got there, he hugged him, he kissed him, brought him in, and says, "Kill the fatted calf." There's a celebration going on. The compassion that he had for that boy. And really, it's a depiction of the Father having compassion upon us. He may not like some things that are in us. Say amen. Amen. But by the Holy Spirit, he's working in us and helping us to be what he wants us to be. And it says that he put a ring on his finger, because the boy said, "I just want to be a servant. That's all I want to be." And he took him and he put a ring on his finger. He put new shoes on his feet. And he said, "Get that robe that I've been saving for him and put it around about him." He came back. He left as a child of the Father. He was wayward. He came back thinking, "I'm just going to be a servant." And the Father made him a son again. Wow. That's the kind of God we serve. We may go stray a little bit here or there, whatever, whatever. But I tell you what, God is waiting for us to come back. His compassion and his love. Look, he loves you. He cares about you. Now, that doesn't mean he wants us to stay how we are. Okay? And that doesn't give omission to sin either. Like when I was working at Ford in Kaplan, somebody came up and they had a battery. And the battery didn't have any, you know how they used to mark it off like the month and the year, whatever, so you'd know when the battery was bought? Well, it was a Christian, that was the mechanic, so I'm there too. And the mechanic came and the lady said, "Something's wrong with the battery, I need another one." Well, and so I remember saying, "Well, when did you buy the battery? Because it wasn't marked." Okay? And she said, "Well, I don't remember it. I don't have the ticket." And I remember, Christian, because I went to church with him, said, "Just mark off anything and that's good, and we'll say that's when you got it." And I backed off and I said, oh no, that's not right. See, we got to do what is right, people. You know, I know doing right may hurt at times, but we have to do what is right. Yes. And do what is right because God says so. And here this guy came back as a son. God will bring you back in fellowship with him. Pray. Ask God to move upon your family. Move upon your people, the people in your family, that God will take hold of them. See the compassion and love. I want to read one more event to you. If you would turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. It's only a few verses. The compassion. Page 629. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into this place. We welcome you, Lord. Chapter 2, verse 19, starting there. It says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is not." That just means it's poison. You know, and you know, they couldn't go down to Super One Foods or Walmart or Larry's or Dollar General, you know, I mean, you know, and buy water. Now you see everybody has a bottle of water, you know. Nobody drinks the water out the faucet anymore. And, you know, I mean, we drank it out the faucet and out the hose, and we lived okay. I mean, we made it, you know. I'm 60, we made it, you know. Now it's all cleaned up. And that's okay, nothing wrong with that. But they couldn't go down and get water. They had to use what came out the well. And that's it. That's it. But it was for the city and it was poisoned. and the ground barren. Verse 20, and he said, bring me a new cruse. That means just about, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. Because people were dying. The land was barren. And the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke. Now we'll just stop there, but listen to this. God had compassion upon the city. You see, it took one man, Elisha, to listen to the Lord. See, one man can make a difference. And when I say man, that means any human being, man or woman, can make a difference. This one person, Elisha, listened to the Lord. The Lord said, take that cruse, fill it up with water, and put some salt in it. You're thinking, okay, I'm sure they tried this before, you know. I'm sure people at home have put maybe some salt. But you see, we can put salt, but not under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And all it is salty water that's poisoned. You see, we got to do things under the direction of the power of the Holy Ghost. You might say, well, I don't know what about the Holy Ghost. Look, you pray and you seek God and you say, Lord, tune up my spirit unto your spirit. Tune up me unto you. It's not him unto us, it's us unto him. Lord, let me know your voice. Let me know your spirit. Let me know who you are, Lord. And he said, look, just take that cruse of water and take some salt and put it in it. And then take that cruse of water and salt and go throw it into the body of water, into that well. And when they did that, the water was healed. People, my Lord. It takes time to go to God every morning, huh? It takes time to read that word. It takes time to say, Lord, tune up my spirit with your spirit. It takes time to know him. If we want to know the nugget gold things of God that's in his word, we got to know that word to know him. We got to know him. And so they put that water in that well and body of water, and it was healed. Because see, anything under the direction of the Holy Ghost will bring healing and will help the people. My God. Mud healed the eyes of a man. And it wasn't the mud that was magic. It was under the direction of the Holy Ghost. Really was spit and mud. Who wants that on their eye? But I tell you, when it comes from the King of Kings, we'll take it all. My God. I've never been blind, and I know whatever. But I tell you what, you do what it takes to get your eyesight back. He needed some help. People, we need to be under the direction of the Holy Ghost. We need to take some time to come before God and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Some of you are not filled with the Holy Ghost as far as speaking in tongues. Why not? Amen. It's silence. Yeah. It's a gift that has been given to the church, to the body of Christ in Acts chapter 2. We need to crave for the things of God. You might say, well, man, I've asked and I haven't gotten it. I've asked and I haven't. Well, so what? You keep asking, and you keep believing that God will give you the gift that he said was for the church, for the body of Christ, that you never give up. Don't give up. You pray and you say, Lord, give it to me. I want it. I was filled with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues after I got water baptized. I got saved in February. Months later, I was water baptized, and I remember coming back from Abbeville saying, Mom, I feel something here. It's like I just... And that night, I just lay, and I said, Lord, I mean, I was a Catholic boy here. I didn't know about all this stuff. And that's okay. That's okay. Just laying down, I said, Lord, I want it. And all of a sudden, just started speaking in tongues. And I remember the next morning, I said, Mom, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. She said, why didn't you wake me up? So what I'm saying is, you know, and I've seen people, I prayed over people. Some have received, some have. And look, you keep on praying. You keep on pursuing. Because God is going to have compassion. It is yours. It's a gift that has been given to the body of Christ. Read Acts chapter 2. Read Acts chapter 9 about the Gentile Pentecost. That's what it was. Because the first one in Acts chapter 2, that was just Jewish people. That was a Jewish Pentecost. And they thought it was just for them. God said, oh, no, 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 no. So look, have a desire for it. Seek God. Say, Lord, and I don't care if you pray it to the end of time. God will be there. And you say, Lord, whatever it is that's holding me back, show me what it is. Ooh. And you let God be God, moving on those things in your life. Amen. Look, let me tell you this. The church didn't grow till after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that he would add 5,000, 2,000, 3,000 after the Holy Spirit came upon the body of Christ. Some may say, well, I spoke a little bit in tongues, but it's like it's there's no more. You pray, God, fill me again. And look, fill me again. And Lord, and you let God move in that area of your life. You might say, well, do I have to have that, you know, to go to heaven? No. Salvation, the blood of Jesus, brings you to heaven. This is the power to get the job done upon the earth. Can I say something else? That's why we got a whole bunch of stuff going on around the world and in America that's not helping anybody. And it really is destroying the church. See, we need to have direction by the Spirit of Almighty God. And look, I know you know God. You desire the things of God because you hear. You desire God to move in your heart, to move in your life, to move in your family. We got to pursue him, people. Just like the young boy coming back to his father, he was pursuing his father, saying, I may be on the outs with him. He was thinking, but the father wasn't. But I will do whatever. And it says that God put, well, the father put upon him, like I said earlier, the ring, which means authority, the robe, the sandals. That's the kind of God, compassion for us. I know you look like you're getting a little hungry, so I'm going to have to stop. You might say, well, Pastor, it's about time, man. You've closed already time. But I tell you what, I appreciate you. Hunger for the things of God. You might say, Pastor, you know, hey, look, I know sometimes how you feel at times. Sometimes I feel like I'm dying. Oh, not dying physically, but just inside. It's like, and I said, Lord, give me more of you. It's like I want more. I want more. You know, with God, his things are never ending. Never ending. You go to him and the power of God comes upon your life and whatever happens and you come back again, the anointing and the presence of God again upon your life, it just keeps moving because he is a great God. He's never ending. He never runs out. Amen. You know how you drive up to the pump sometime and you see, oh my God, there's a bag over it saying no gas. So you go around to the other one that you can't see, and sure enough, the same thing. Well, you know what? When you drive up to the station of Almighty God, and you call upon him, and you go to the Father in Jesus' name, that's how he says to do it. And the Holy Spirit is always available to his people. Always. Always. You can go down and you can speak in tongues. You can praise him in Spanish. But good job. They speak Spanish, you know. We let them sit on the front row because... Yeah, that's right. You can speak in French. You can speak in English. And God knows it all. My God, God knows it all. Somebody asked me one day, you know, what if a word comes forth in French? So what? A lot of people speak French. If a word comes forth in Spanish, so what? We want it. We want the prophecies. We want God to move. We want God to move. Pursue Him, people. Don't. You know how after you eat a big meal and you just satisfied, huh? It's like you just, oh. And all you want to do is get in that lazy boy and just take a nap.
Yes.
Don't be like that towards the things of God. As He fills you, say, Lord, I want more. I want more. Hunger. 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 For the things of God. Hunger for knowledge of the Word of God. Hunger for praying and seeking Him, to finding out who He is. You know, two people become best friends. Why? Because they spend a lot of time together and they share things about each other. Huh? And sometimes you find out things, wow, I didn't know that. You know, whatever, you know. But you become best friends and you hang around each other a lot. I'm going to end with this. You say, thank you, Lord. Let God be your best friend.
Yes,
amen.
Mm-mm. Let God be your best friend. He knows everything about us anyway. Amen. Why don't you stand, please?